I'm going to just identify a few key things in the scripture, and then I'm going to tell you two quick stories today. From Philippians chapter 4. The first three verses of that chapter are really the conclusion to chapter 3. Remember that chapters and verses came way later than the scripture itself, and it was those decisions were made a large part about punctuation. And so sometimes as you're looking at your Bible, some organization is necessary. Mine actually has a heading in between those verses so that they get lumped in with verse or with chapter 3. So what's in that conclusion? Well, first off is this little reference. If you were here last week for Pastor Erica, she talked about the women who worked alongside Paul. And that's a big deal because we in our world diminish that too often. And the commentator that I am using this week to kind of frame things, David Fredrickson, says it's blatant sexism that we talk about these people and that we diminish them, we ignore them, or we take this phrase, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and imagine a squabble. There's no place in the scripture that points to that. Philippians, if you remember, is a book all about thanksgiving and how they've helped Paul, worked alongside him in the gospel. There's no mention of division or a struggle. Instead, rhetorically, it concludes that phrase that came before and says, keep up the good work, is how that should be heard, rather than there's some underlying squabble. But because of our translators, interpreters' way of being in the church where men have been centered, women get the blame. It's not fair, it's not there. I just saw a shirt that said, don't hear things I didn't say. That's it, right? That's it here in this place. They then struggled beside Paul in the work of the gospel there in verse 3. That word is fascinating. It is sunathelein. And the idea is they're athletes together with, like in Spanish is sin, and then athletes together or teammates might be the way to think of that. That they are co-workers is a fair translation, but the reason for that is, who could be athletes in Paul's day and age? Not the women. And so the choice of word is absolutely particular, that Paul was making a point to say, these ones, they are as worthy as anyone to be my teammates, to walk alongside me, and to be called co-workers in Christ. He's directly challenging people's assumptions by using that word. And then where I really want to focus, in verse 3, toward the end in my translation, and the rest of my co-workers. That's a fascinating word choice there. It Old English would be translated as yoke fellow. What's a yoke? What's a yoke? Not an egg yolk. It's a harness, right? That brings a team together. Anybody ever driven a team with a yoke on it? At first service, we actually had people who had done that. It is that which allows two people or two animals, two beasts who are of different strength to work together, right? The reality is if you put two horses next to each other, even if they're roughly the same side or same size, they're not always going to be existing or exerting the same effort. They're not going to have the same strength, etc. And so what happens if one is stronger than the other and you don't have a working yoke? You do circles. Think of paddling with somebody, right? If you have a person who's paddling who paddles stronger than the other, you end up doing that. A yoke, then, is what allows people to work together for the sake of the gospel. And that word choice is particular because at the time that Paul was writing to the congregation in Philippi, the church was wrestling with people who had chosen different walks of life. So, Paul, Jesus said, sell all your possessions, give them to the poor. There were Christians who did that. Do you remember Acts chapter 2, Jody? They held all things in common, and they had the blessing of all people. We, in our day and age, really worry about that because of communists and socialists and those things. But that is the description of the church, is it not? What about folks, though, who didn't do that? Not everyone did, obviously. There were those, if you remember the Corinthian correspondence, those who owned all of the businesses, and the worry about the way that they came to worship when they had the day laborers who were trying to make their way through the world. So clearly people were working. How do we take those folks who are wealthy and who are working, who are making their way through and trying to figure out how to be Christian doing that, and hold them together with the people who have given up everything and who are spending their entire time together proclaiming the gospel? We call them yoke fellows, teammates, co-workers. It's the language from Adam and Eve. If you go back there and you look at the Greek translation of the Hebrew that Jesus would have known, that is that word, that idea that we're partners in this with different gifts, different strengths, different ways of approaching it. So a little story. January of 2024, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I do that all the time, I always have. Except for this night, I was sweating. My skin was tingly, and I could feel my heart pounding. And I thought, am I having a heart attack? Is it possible that at 42 or whatever I was at that point, that this is happening? And I was able to kind of settle and calm, but it kept happening. I'd see my alarm clock at 2 a.m. every day for 10 days. Eventually, I was in conversation here, and one of my faithful partners on staff said, "Why is it that you come to work at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning? We have people who are helping to open the building and who are doing that, and yet you're here. I'd like to get here before the streetlights turn on." That's my favorite. 6 minutes from home if I do that. And it helped me to suddenly go, because I'm nervous. I've been doing this for 19 years, and I'm still nervous. But then it started to help me process and go backward, and so I began to go to therapy. And for the first time in my life, I went to therapy not in kind of a partial way or like a one time here or a few times there, but I began to go to therapy for months, every week, all the way through until about May of 2024. It was at therapy, by the way, I'm still doing that, just not weekly. It's about monthly now. It was at therapy that a couple of things happened. One, my wonderful therapist, Paul, who's a Lutheran, well, he's one of those that, you know, Christmas and Easter, he's a Lutheran, right? He said, "Pastor Eric, what if we start praying together at the start of every session, and then I pray for you at the end of every session?" I'm the pastor, I probably should have thought of that. But he did, and it totally transformed our sessions. And then over time, he said to me, a little more profane language than this, because he said, "Holy cow, you're doing a lot. Don't you have teammates, partners, yoke fellows who can do those things with you?" That's about when I started to, or I stopped doing any social media posting, and I let Eric Gold do all of it. He's better at it anyway than I ever will be. That's when I really leaned into Marnie and Tori and Michelle and Miranda opening the building on Sunday morning, and folks like Heather and others meeting with team leaders to take that burden of setting agendas and doing that work. That's when finally the lessons of delegating that I had been taught however many times began to sink in. Even at home, the things that had caused all of those moments in my heart and in my stomach and in my skin, I have this wonderful, capable partner, in so many ways more able to walk through the world than I. Why wasn't I sharing it with her? And so I began to. And over time, I stopped waking up. Over time, I could feel that I was calmer and more able to face the day, and I didn't feel the same symptoms of anxiety that I had before. That, in so many ways, is what Paul was up to with the Philippians. We've worked together, Euodia and Syntyche and Clement and so many others, teammates, side by side on this journey, so that we know that whatever might come in front of us, because there will be things that come that are hard, that are painful, that lead us to isolation and uncertainty, we know we can face them because God has given us each other. What it took a Christmas and Easter Lutheran to teach me, Paul said to the congregation in Philippi 2,000 years ago. Don't you have all of these people around you? The folks who love you and care for you, who sit with you and who join you in all of the ways that you walk through the world. And isn't that exactly God's answer to our prayers? Isn't that exactly what we ought to give thanks for? Isn't that exactly who we should be asking when we need help? To say, God, in my life, I need you. And God says, yeah. And here's Evie. And here's Marnie. And here's Eric. And here's Susan. And here's Lori. And here's Crystal. And these, each and every one, are my answers to your prayers. Amen.